It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Earlier this month, Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman announced that his department will stop using facial recognition technology as city leaders develop a policy for it. During a recent Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission meeting, police leaders revealed that the department has been using forms of this technology since before Chief Norman took over in 2021. Chief Norman said it was only used as an investigative tool to develop leads for violent felonies.
We are just being mindful to make sure that we are trying to find the best practices out there and, you know, the checks and balances. But I am committed to say that the use of FRT will never be the basis for anyone's arrest under my leadership and under my watch.
Chief Norman declined an interview request for this segment. More than two dozen community members spoke out against the use of facial recognition technology during that meeting, prompting the police department's temporary ban the next day. One of those concerned community members was Nadina Johnson, CEO and founder of the Milwaukee software company Jet Constellations and its social impact arm, the Milwaukee Way Tech Hub. Rob Ferret spoke to her earlier this week.
So for people who don't follow the latest technology that closely, can you give us a brief overview, Nadia, on how this kind of facial recognition technology works?
Yeah, so facial recognition technology, to put it plain, it is a form of artificial intelligence that takes your face, converts it over to this biometric template, and then matches it with images in a database with the hope of identifying you. And while, you know, to some people, this might sound pretty cool, and it is what we consider an innovative technology, it requires a ton of guardrails.
Well, let's start with your concerns that you raised at a public hearing in front of the Milwaukee Police Department as they were considering how and ultimately if to continue using these kind of technologies. What motivated you to raise those concerns there?
Yeah, so I've been in the field of computer science for some time. I build artificial intelligence. I'm part of the AI community, so to speak. And one thing that I know for a fact is that these technologies, again, while cool and innovative, they carry a lot of risk because, unfortunately, the data that they are sometimes trained on is not representative enough of the population in which those technologies aim to, in this case, surveil. And what that can cause is some biases and some incredible and these days well-documented accuracy gaps.
Who in particular faces those accuracy gaps where they might get that false positive? Hey, here's the image we have. Here's the match. It wasn't really a match.
Well, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, I raised the concern because, you know, I live in a city, Milwaukee, where I believe the population is about 40%, you know, Black people. And unfortunately, these facial recognition technologies have a lot of high false positive rates for Black individuals, women, and youth. And these are the very individuals that I serve within the Milky Way Tech Hub. And it's one of the reasons why I felt the need to make this concern known.
Now, you mentioned guardrails, and one of the arguments from the Milwaukee Police Chief, Chief Norman, and some others is that, hey, this will generate a lead. Right? We're not going to arrest someone just based on this. This is going to flag someone. We'll look into it. We'll do old-fashioned police work before we charge someone. Is that the kind of guardrail you have in mind, or do you think we need more?
Oh, I think we need a ton more. And honestly, you know, there are certain guardrails that can be put in place, but it's not going to address some of the core issues that I have with it, which is the reality is even when this sort of technology is implemented, systems matter. Okay. And so policies change, leadership changes, vendors' terms change over time. And this is not something that the general public will have a lot of transparency into in order to approve it advancing. And so, yes, guardrails are certainly needed, but even then, there are so many things that need to be considered.
I want to give a listen to Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman at that recent Fire and Police Commission meeting, giving an example of how the department had used facial recognition technology before this most recent decision. Here's a listen.
One time that we did use it was for a stranger sexual assault, or if you want to have it more, you know, common language, a stranger rape. This individual was able to be brought into custody and be able to be brought because we had used, again, as an investigative tool within an hour. How can I look at somebody in the face and say, I have something to help make sure that someone else will not be victimized?
okay, this tool that can accomplish something that people might hope the police department could accomplish, is it worth some of the trade-offs, some of the concerns you raise?
Well, you know, I think the question isn't whether or not it works sometimes. The question is whether or not it works accurately, consistently, and constitutionally. And you know, as you mentioned, whether the risks are acceptable in a policing context. And I think the issue is just not about functionality as much as the bias risks, due process, and public trust. And with technologies like this, it erodes public trust, and it's counterproductive to safety in general.
Another concern I've seen raised is that when a police department contracts with a company to do this kind of thing, the company says, great, here's our database, all the faces you're matching with, and you are going to share your database collected in your community with us. That puts it on a big database that can be accessed by other law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and more. Do you see a concern over the safety, the ways other agencies apart from, say, in Milwaukee might use this kind of data?
Absolutely. It's a huge concern, you know, because we don't know how they will be using that data. But, you know, if we take a look at what's happening in the world today as it relates to ICE and other federal agencies, a lot of people do not align with what is happening in our country. And if these different agencies are using that data, it can be hugely problematic and cause real harm in real communities.
What kind of public oversight would you like to see if and when a police department does use this kind of facial recognition technology?
I think that it is critically important to make the policies and the terms and agreements with the vendors as transparent as possible with the public. I think that there needs to be an advisory board that is made up of the community this technology intends on surveilling. But at the end of the day, you know, my stance is that it just shouldn't be implemented.
At all. So there's not like a positive set of guardrails is going to sway you and say, yeah, I'm comfortable with a police department using this.
I think that there's a possibility that we can get to that point. I just know that we're not there yet. And it's going to take a lot of solutioning. And I'm not going to pretend to have all of the answers. But there are a lot of incredibly brilliant individuals here in the city of Milwaukee that I think it's worthwhile reaching out to them, putting them on an advisory committee and to understand and build these guardrails together. It's got to be a collective, community-based process.
Now, you're coming at this as somebody in the technology, the computer, the AI world. You're not, you know, a Luddite who's going to instantly reject all technological proposals. As somebody coming from this background, what do you think the public should know about AI and facial recognition that people might not know or might take for granted?
You know, it's not just about cool innovation. It is about understanding the necessity to have accurate, consistent, and technology that works constitutionally. And if we are dealing with a technology like facial recognition technology, in this case, there has to be a lot of community input. And where we don't see community input, where we don't see transparency, where we don't see accountability measures, it's time to take it off the table.
Nadia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Nadia Johnson is CEO and founder of the Milwaukee software company Jet Constellations and its social impact arm, the Milky Way Tech Hub. Now let's learn how police departments across the state weigh the benefits and potential consequences of implementing this technology. Patrick Soler is professor of criminal justice at UW-Platteville and a former police chief who spent nearly 30 years in law enforcement. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
As somebody with a lot of background in law enforcement, what potential do you see for facial recognition technology to help police identify potential suspects?
Well, of course, we're early on. These things change very, very quickly and get more and more sophisticated. But I view it as one of the latest tools that our law enforcement officers have to protect us from crime. It's only one tool that in itself does not permit officers to make arrests. In fact, it's most useful in eliminating potential suspects from consideration. It also has great utility in other areas, such as identifying non-crime persons who lack any identification documents. A good example are individuals who are found deceased on the street. Taking away this tool in Milwaukee places your citizens at greater risk from not only criminal perpetrators who will go unidentified, but from very serious individuals and groups who intend to cause mass death and destruction. The fact is, constitutionally, there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in what any individual exposes to public view. Creating or inferring that there should be one is such an expectation of privacy in what we expose to public view is very unwise. Allow me to illustrate this from a risk management standpoint. Imagine for a moment that you are an international terrorist intent on another 9/11. Only this time, you're not going to be flying airliners into tall buildings. You have a nuclear device. You and your band of jihadists are considering which one of our American cities you want to target. You're aware that all American cities utilize facial recognition software, except for one. All other things being equal, which city are you going to target?
You've heard the concerns, and not just from Nadia there, but from others, that, hey, people don't feel comfortable having government entities have these vast databases of knowledge, concerns about false positives. What do you say to those concerns?
They do have this technology. As a matter of fact, the recognition software goes well beyond facial recognition. Our software capabilities are immense. I'm sorry that people don't feel comfortable with that, but that is reality today.
But one concern, of course, is that somebody could misuse this technology. We've seen reports over the years of, you know, a police officer in an agency misusing some kind of public online records to surveil an ex or do a favor for a buddy or something like that. Having access to this, what kind of controls should be in place to make sure that an individual officer or a government entity or whatever doesn't misuse all this incredible amount of data at their fingertips?
Well, that's why I find your former guest's point of view most valuable. In any type of law enforcement operations where we're potentially taking away somebody's freedom of movement or liberty, there has to be guidelines. Now, those guidelines, of course, come to us from the federal constitution and state constitutions, but also as we move forward in advancing technology, local police agencies need to have policies in place that the public is aware of and has input into, which allow them to do the job, while at the same time honoring the concerns that people have about their privacy. Now, this is not rocket science. Policies are being developed at the International Chiefs Association, as well as state Chiefs Associations. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Those policies are available for adoption nationwide in every police agency.
So if you were back in the police chief role and you were saying, hey, we've done some outsourcing of facial recognition technology, we're looking to develop it more, what would be your first steps with the public reaching out to get buy-in, to get the community trusting and confident in the rules you have in place?
The first thing I would do is put policies and standard operating procedures out there for people to review and comment on. Again, you know, there are models for this stuff that apply on a nationwide basis. But wherever we can, as local government officials, we should be respectful of local concerns as long as they don't undermine our capability to keep people safe.
I want to give another listen to Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman talking to the Milwaukee Fire and Police Commission about the future of this technology. Here's some what he had to say.
AI and technology is not going anywhere. It's being used in horrific ways against our community. And there are things out there that is, unfortunately, we are being subjected to, whether it's, you know, the, you know, fraudulent type of things that's being, you know, pictures and whatnot, that we have to find ways of navigating a very delicate balance of how do we get ahead of this? Criminals don't use rules or guidelines, but we do.
So what kind of responsibility do police departments have to keep up with the newest technology?
Well, you know, the first thing that I would point out, there needs to be a balance between public safety and individual liberty and rights to privacy. And in all areas, courts apply that balance when they consider the ability of police officers to stop or seize individuals, and they balance that against a legitimate public need to do so. Also in consideration of the police and government generally, using the least intrusive means to accomplish legitimate law enforcement goals. So whenever we look at public policy as it applies to law enforcement, those are the things that we bear in mind. Beyond that, we have people with a very different agenda trying to handcuff our police at the local, state, and federal level with valid arguments. But we as citizens need to understand that there's a balance, again, that needs to be applied. We're talking about the safety of all of the citizens in the Milwaukee area versus the issue with how this software might be misused. We can adopt policies and procedures and guidelines to dramatically limit the chance of the software being misused, but we can't do anything on the other side, the legitimate public safety threats that exist out there.
You mentioned the kind of worst case scenario of a terrorist nuclear attack. I think some people might be concerned over what they see as a worst case of, we have reporting that the Department of Homeland Security has requested, Google and other companies' data on people who protest against their activity. People saying, so wait a minute, this stuff, if Milwaukee, say, collects this data and it goes into this national database, could Department of Homeland Security, under an administration that people might be worried about, Republican or Democrat, use this, weaponize it, in effect, against citizens to harass them for constitutional activities?
Certainly they could. That's a concern that every competent government official should be aware of, hence the need for procedures, guidelines, and accountability mechanisms to ensure that doesn't happen. But let's keep in mind, facial recognition software is one tool. It does not in and of itself justify any type of law enforcement action against any individual. We need additional facts, behavior cues that criminal suspects give us, combining that with facts related to the particular incident that we're investigating and the reasonable inferences that we garner from those facts. Those things combined give us reasonable suspicion to stop and probable cause to arrest. It's not just a hit on facial recognition. It would be incompetence for a law enforcement officer to move just on that one fact.
Patrick, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Patrick Soler is an associate professor of criminal justice at UW-Platteville and a former Illinois police chief. He talked with Rob Ferret about facial recognition technology and its use by police departments. Earlier, we heard from Nadia Johnson, CEO and founder of Jet Constellations and its social impact arm, the Milky Way Tech Hub, and she spoke in opposition to the use of facial recognition.